appreciate you being here. Romans chapter 12. You did your part, you're here, I'll do my part and try to keep you awake. Worst comes to worst, I'll throw something at you and we'll keep you going. You've had a hard day at the office, haven't you? Romans chapter 12. Yeah, it's always a bad thing when you announce the text and people start yawning. You know, it's like, okay. You know, you got your work cut out for you. Okay. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word today, and we thank you that you have given your word to us to reveal yourself and your will for our lives. We do remember, especially tonight, our church family who are ministering in Pennsylvania. Lord, as they have their first night tonight, I pray you'd bless every aspect of the ministry as they work with adults and teens and children, and just bless their week, help them to reach many for you, and help build this church. I do think of Joyce tomorrow as she will be going to these three homes with folks that are very near death. And Lord, may you just guide her and give her the exact words to say. We thank you that the gospel is powerful. And we pray you just help her as she speaks to these folks, direct her words, her thoughts, and work in the hearts and lives of these she's trying to minister to. Now I ask you to bless and guide and direct us as we look at your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a society of spectators. Television is full of, the new thing on television is reality shows. You can watch somebody do about anything, you know. There's shows for cooking, there's shows for fishing and hunting. You can even watch shows about people repoing vehicles. I mean, I don't know what all this is about, but you can watch shows about people killing and hunting alligators. I mean, anything you want to watch, you can pretty much see it. The sports world, of course, is full of spectators. One man described a football game as 22 men on the field who desperately need rest being watched by 50,000 people who desperately need exercise. And that's probably true. Unfortunately, the same spirit has entered into the church. And I'll be honest with you, if you have a church of 20, you probably don't have too many spectators. But when you have a church of 400 or 500 or 600, it's easy to be a spectator. My dad often said 20% of the people, or maybe even 10% of the people, do 80% of the work in the church. And that's true. Now, I'll just be honest with you, as the Lord has laid this message, I believe he's laid this message on my heart. And then I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, now, wait a minute, Lord, this is Wednesday night. These are the faithful people, you know, that come to every service. But, you know, even in a crowd like this, the simple matter of fact is we all are not doing what we ought to do for the body of Christ. And I want to encourage you tonight, even if you're already involved serving the Lord and serving the body of Christ, to seek God's will for what he would have you to do. You may be doing something, but God has you to do something else along with that. Or you may be here tonight and you're glad to be here and we're glad to have you, but if push comes to shove, you're a spectator. When we have a song service, there's a lot of spectators. They're looking around, watching. When we have preaching, you may be a spectator. When it comes time to serve God, here we have Bible school coming up. We can use everybody in this place, and we'll find something for you to do. What if we had two Brother Johns over our canvassing? What would you do, Brother John, if 200 people showed up to go canvassing? We'd have to get this defibrillator out here and put that thing on his chest and bring him back around. But why shouldn't we? I've been reading in my devotions in Romans, and I love the book of Romans. And I've really been taking my time. I've been in Romans chapter 12 now for several days. When I read Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, the Lord just laid this thought in my heart, folks, that we need to be participators and not spectators in the work of God. So let's read tonight in Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 3 and we'll read through verse 8.
For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now here's our text. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And I want to take all of our main points this evening from verse 6, which says, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, and we could say, do it. He's saying, having then gifts, use them. Now, first of all, tonight, I want you to see the existence of spiritual gifts. You see it then. Having then gifts. Well, your first question ought to be, what is a spiritual gift? And I'll be honest with you. It's a little difficult to nail down because we want to say that natural talents and abilities are gifts from God. Well, they are, but these are spiritual gifts. These are special gifts given by God, special abilities to be used in the ministry of the body of Christ. So again, special abilities, they're God-given, and they're given to each Christian to be used in ministering to the body of Christ. Now, who has them? He says, having then gifts. Who has them? Well, now some people would tell you, look, you come and you get saved, and then later on, you pray through, and you get the second work of grace, and you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then God gives you special gifts, and you have to fast and pray and beg God to give you these gifts, and boy, if you're here down here spiritually, you're not going to have any. It's not till you really get up here spiritually, boom, you hit 72%, and whammo, you get spiritual gifts. Okay? The Bible does not say that. Now notice again verse 6. Having then gifts. Now, there is a parallel passage that deals with spiritual gifts. It is 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to go back and forth. So keep your finger there in Romans 12 and find 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be flipping back and forth quite a bit tonight. So just kind of mark those two places, and that'll aid you. And in fact, I think those are the only two passages you're going to need tonight. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. And he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to, what are the next two words? Every man. Look in verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to, what are the next two words? Every man. Verse 18. But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. All right, how many believers have a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts? Everyone. If you have been saved for a day, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. If you have been saved for 50 years, you have a spiritual gift or gifts. Everyone has one. So, if everybody has them, how in the world did you get them? Okay? Now, again, going back to Romans 12. Having then gifts. Now, it's interesting. There are two different words used in our two texts. In Romans 12, 6, the word is gift. That is the word charisma or charis, which is grace. In fact, there's a whole bunch of people that have a movement based on that word. They're called what? Yeah, that's correct. You're doing okay. The charismatic movement, right? Charis, grace. Now, if these are graced gifts, then what does that imply? Well, it implies you didn't have to work to get it, did you? It is a grace gift. It is given by God. Why? Because God wanted to. God has chosen to give every believer specific gifts or spiritual abilities to be used in the church of God. And by the way, if they are gifts, do you have the right to go around and say,
well, I have the gift of prophecy. I am really somebody.
Wait a minute. It's a gift. Okay? You don't earn it. You don't beg for it. You don't fast to get it. It is a gift given by God. It's all of God. The church in Corinth, what were they doing?
Well, brother, did you hear me last Sunday night? I was speaking in tongues. It was amazing, wasn't it? You probably heard me. Oh, well, that's because I'm so spiritual. See?
Now, look. Folks, these are spiritual gifts. You don't earn a gift. You don't get a gift because you deserve it. It's given by the grace of God. And by the way, if you are spiritually gifted and have many spiritual gifts, you ought to just say, thank you, Lord, for your grace in my life. Never should we ever get up and say, well, yes, I am the world's greatest teacher. You're lucky to have me in this class. Now, if you have the gift of teaching, hallelujah, praise the Lord for it, but it's a gift. It's not because you deserve it. It's because of the grace of God. Now, it's interesting. Look over again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the very first verse, and he uses a different word. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spirituals, the word is pneumatikos, or the whole. It has to do with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to stop for just a minute and do a real quick study in the Holy Spirit of God. There are three words that describe our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Okay? When you get saved, will you help me here? What are those three words? We talk about the blank of the Holy Spirit. This question must be very difficult because you're all looking at my... The what? Obviously, I'm not communicating. Ephesians talks about one of them, but be ye, there you go, there's one of them. Filled, the filling of the Spirit. Now, that should help you. There's two more. Hallelujah. What's the other two? Not only are you filled with the Spirit, when you get saved, you are. Maybe we ought to just stop here and talk about the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and we are baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. So there's three things that occur. Now, when you got saved, now this is an amazing thing to think about. Think about when you got saved. Okay? You remember that time? Now, you didn't know it, and I didn't know it. We didn't realize it. But the moment we placed our faith in Christ, God moved in. Now think about that. God is in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, how long or when will the Holy Spirit of God leave us? Well, I guess go to heaven, we'll be with Him. But in this lifetime, will the Holy Spirit of God ever leave you? That's great. No. Now, King David, obviously, in the Old Testament, things were different in the Old Testament. And when David sinned with Bathsheba, what did he cry out? Lord, don't take your presence from me. But believer, the great news is when you got saved, you were indwelt by the Spirit of God, and He has made His abode in you. He is abiding in you. It is God in you. We study this in Colossians chapter 2. What a great truth. There's the indwelling. There's also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. The word baptism of the Holy Ghost is not found in the Bible. In fact, probably, if we were more correct, we would say that God baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. He gives us the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost places us in the body of Christ. When does that happen? When you get saved. The moment you get saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, you're baptized, you're placed into the body of Christ. Now, that means, how many of you today are Christians? You've been saved. All right, now look around. Hold your hands up. Look, this is not this one. All right, now look around. All right, When you got saved, we were all baptized into the body of Christ. There is a unique unity in the body of Christ, which is an amazing thing. That's why I can put up with Scott Foster. Because Scott, we're part of the same body, brother. You better be nice to me from now on. Say, Larry Trent and I, we are brothers in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. We've been baptized in the body of Christ. The body of Christ has many members. We're all different. We're all part of the body of Christ. When you got saved, you were baptized in the body of Christ. And then I mentioned Ephesians 5. We are filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That is the one thing that is temporary, isn't it? The moment you got saved, you were indwelt and you're baptized and that's over with. But you're filled and you're not always controlled by the Spirit of God, are you? During this message, some of you have already lost the filling of the Holy Spirit. So those three things occur. So the moment you get saved, and you're in 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 13. Here it is. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, now this is always an amazing picture to me. Use your imagination. If the whole body were an eye, you know, it comes rolling into church. Strange. Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, but one body. Now, God placed you in the church. He gifted you with spiritual gifts. For what purpose? Why did God give you spiritual gifts? Well, he gave you the gift of rulership or leadership or charisma so that you could go out and make millions of dollars and build big buildings and have all kinds of stuff, right? No, God gave us these gifts, folks, to edify, to build up the body of Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit, what? With all. So, God gave me spiritual gifts so that I can minister to Scott. God gave Scott spiritual gifts so he can minister to me and so we can minister to the body of Christ. Okay? That's what he gave us these gifts for. In 1 Peter 4:10 it says, as every man hath received the gift, so minister, and that's the word deacon or serve, diakonos, serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then also in Ephesians 4:11, where he talks about the people that are given to the church, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So God gave every one of us spiritual gifts, folks, to be used in the body of Christ. All right? And we look at that pretty specifically as this body of Christ. Okay? Now, obviously, there are a body of Christ. I mean, Beth is working in Tanzania? And there's a body of Christ that she's working with there. And preacher's been preaching in other places. You were at Cookville the other day or somewhere. Cookville or Crossville? One of those bills. And he was ministering to a body of Christ there. But really, there's a great unity of the body of Christ, isn't there? And we were given those gifts, folks, not for our own benefit, but to benefit others. Okay? All right. Now, the body has many needs, has a need for knowledge. The body has a need for encouragement and comfort and for increase and physical needs and to know what is right and what's wrong. And God has provided people to do those things in the body of Christ. And we could say in the church. All right? Now, let's try to nail down a little bit. We see the existence of spiritual gifts. Back in Romans chapter 6 or 12, let's look at the next part of the verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So he says, all right, there are gifts that are differing. Now, there are three lists, two lists, and then a list of men that are spiritually gifted people that we find in the Word of God. I just read one of those to you in Ephesians 4. And I want to explain what the spiritual gifts are. Now, before we get into this, let me just say, I don't know that all spiritual gifts are listed in these lists. I think probably more than likely, and again, this is I think, that these are examples of spiritual gifts, and there are probably many others that you can have in the body of Christ. But in Ephesians 4:11, he talks about some men who were given to the church that were spiritually gifted men. The first were the apostles. How many apostles were there? 12, that is correct. Now, we could obviously talk about Matthias and Paul and so forth and who's who, but we do know in the New Jerusalem there's 12 foundations with the 12 apostles' names. There are no apostles. If you turn on your TV and the guy says, and now Apostle Fred is going to talk to you, you know he's a liar because he's not an apostle. They've died many years ago. And by the way, with them also all the apostolic gifts also died. Okay? They are not in existence today. There are no apostles today. Then he talked about prophets. Now, obviously in the Word of God, there are people before the Word of God was concluded that spoke by revelation. They prophesied about future events. That, too, is a gift that is no longer being practiced today in a specific way. We could call preaching prophesying in a general way, but not specifically. Then he talks about evangelists. Evangelists, their main goal is to reach people for Christ. Then you talk about pastors, people who shepherd the flock, and then teachers. They call them pastor teachers. You can divide and put them together, whatever thrills your soul. But obviously a pastor should be able to teach. But I think there are people who are not pastors who are teachers. Okay? And they have the gift and the ability to take the Word of God and to explain it and to apply it and to help you understand it. Now, there are also some temporary gifts. Okay? These were the apostolic gifts. The gift of healing was a gift from God that the apostles had. The gift of working miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting of tongues, the discerning of spirits. These are all apostolic gifts that left when the apostles died. Okay? They are not in existence today. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And the simple matter of fact is they did cease until several centuries ago they started up again. Okay? They are not for today. Those are all temporary gifts. Please don't come to me after the service and say, Brother Gary, the Lord showed me during the sermon I have the gift of tongues. You don't. It's not in existence. I wish it was. Wouldn't it be great if you're a missionary, Brother Abbott, and you went to France and you just walked up, you stepped across the border and all of a sudden you could speak French? Well, that'd be great. Didn't happen that way. I'm sure it took you years to study the language. It's not in existence today. So don't worry about those gifts, all right? Let's talk about the permanent gifts. I'll spend a little more time here, but I want to hurry through these. I already mentioned the gift of prophecy, which again, in the limited sense of foretelling the things that God says. Second one, I think, is the gift of knowledge, the accumulation of truth, the ability to study and memorize and understand Scripture. I think a great example of a man with this spiritual gift is Dr. Ron Comfort. Always amazes me how he can get up and explain the Word of God and quote Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. I mean, I know I had to work to do that, but I think there is probably a gift involved there too, a gift of knowledge. There's a gift of wisdom, and I think this is the gift of spiritual discernment, applying the truth to specific situations, being able to say, this is right and this is wrong. Now, he's here tonight, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think, Preacher Lashley, this was one of your spiritual gifts. Several times while you were my boss, I remember sitting in your office saying, well, what about this person? I mean, you know, really, they're not that bad. And he would say, and, you know, behold, 2 weeks later, 2 months later, 2 years later, sure enough. Why? Well, I believe he has the gift of discernment, which is what our church needed in a great way as it was growing. Because some major decisions were made about the direction of our church. Gift of discernment. The gift of exhortation. A gift to the ability to motivate people. Now, I think our pastor has this gift. He has the gift, the ability to get up and speak and motivate people to do things. A good motivational speaker. I think that's one of his gifts. Now, if I'm wrong, when we get to heaven, the Lord will straighten me out, but I just feel like that's it. Another one is the gift of helps. Now, all these are found in 1 Corinthians 12, by the way. I'm not making them up. The ability to see a need and meet the need. This is the guy who's behind the scenes, okay? He is the worker making everything go. He has the gift of helps. He's able to see, or she is able to see situations, and they're able to jump in and take care of the situation. The gift of helps. The gift of ministry, again, is the ability to serve, the gift to serve. You know certain people like that, don't you? They just have a special gift and ability to serve and to get the job done. There are people like that. There's the gift of giving. We have people like that in our church. God gives them an ability to make money, and he gives them the ability to let go of money. See? George Mueller was a man like that. He had hundreds of thousands of dollars went through his hands and went into the orphanage and all these different things that he did. We have people like that in our church. The gift of ruling. Now, some of you are saying, that's me. That's it right there. I'm born to rule. I finally found it out. The simple matter of fact is there are people who are in the church who are born leaders. If they get up and say, we're going this way, they look behind and there's a trail of people. Some of us say, all right, let's go. And we get a half mile away and we look around and nobody's following, okay? If that's the case, you probably don't have the gift of rulership. There's the gift of faith. The ability to step out on the promises of God and go forward. There are people that have that great spiritual gift. There's a gift of mercy. And that's just the gift of being able to weep with those that weep. I hope I've already named some people. I guess I can name some more. I believe Brother Cash has this gift. I mean, if you've got a broken heart and you want somebody to weep with you, go to Brother Cash. He'll see you coming. He'll start weeping. He's got a tender heart. And by the way, we need that at times, don't we? We just need someone just that'll weep with us. Now, again, I think this just kind of summarizes all the gifts, and I think this is probably just a sample, but that kind of gives you some idea of what spiritual gifts might be. Again, all of these given to believers for the edification of the church. Now, finally, an exhortation about spiritual gifts. Back to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, he gives us a bunch of examples, and that kind of, to me, muddies the waters. But what he's saying is, if you have a gift, use it. All right? If you have a spiritual gift, which you do, then use it. In 1 Peter 4, he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. In 1 Corinthians 4, 2, he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What does God want you to do about spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, back in Romans 12, what does he say in verse 3? Now, this is kind of hard to understand. But he says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. All right, don't have pride. But to think soberly, have right thinking, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What's he saying? You need to think very carefully about the gifts God has given to you. You need to consider it. You need to examine your life. You need to see what God wants you to do. Now, by the way, this is crucial, because when you can discern the spiritual gifts God has given to you, then you can see what you ought to do. Johnny, if I gave you a tank today, what do you think you ought to do with it? I should say John, back John Work, because he's a tank driver. If Tanner, if I gave you a jackhammer, you wouldn't have to wonder what you're supposed to do. You know, am I supposed to polish the car? I don't think so. You're supposed to go find something and tear it up. I mean, ladies, if somebody gives you a sewing machine, now you may not know what it is. I'm just kidding. Oh, boy. I was doing so well, too. You're going to know what to do with it, aren't you? Let's move on from that quickly. think that's a lost art today. Now, folks, you need to find out what God's spiritual gift is for you, and folks, you need to use it. Now, why? Why is that so important? Why is it so important? Look, your physical body, I want you just to stop for a moment and think about your body. That may be discouraging, but think about 206 bones, okay? Now, I was wondering, some of you nurses, do women have more bones than men? They have one less. They have one more rib, right? I think because Adam lost one, and right. You guys don't know more than I do, do you? Okay. We're going to say 206 bones, over 600 muscles, 9 pounds of skin, you know, give or take a pound or two, two eyes, two ears, two hands, two feet, one nose. You got two kidneys, one liver, one heart, two lungs. This makes up your body. Now, what if some of those parts of your body say, you know what, I just don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. I've heard recently about some people getting vertigo. And, you know, in fact, Brother Rush got it. Charles Rush got it after our trip to Pennsylvania. I think it was my bus driving. But, I mean, he was deathly ill, had to go to the hospital. All because of a little problem in the inner ear. My mother-in-law had the same thing. I mean, all you got to have, folks, is one little thing go wrong up here, and your body is laid out flat. You can't do anything. I mean, what would happen if you lost your thumb? Now, probably if your hand's like mine, your thumb is not the most beautiful thing in your body. But ever tried to grab anything without a thumb? They say if you lose your big toe that you lose your balance. Now, if you think your thumb's ugly, look at your big toe. I mean, What if when you get a little clogged artery, just, you know, a little artery around your heart, just a little, you know, just and it gets blocked? What happens to your body? Now, look, folks, he gave us the body as an illustration of the body of Christ. There are many needs in the body of Christ. There are many needs in this assembly here, in this church. Now, I firmly believe that God in his sovereignty has given us every spiritual gift in this church that we need. I firmly believe that. I mean, wouldn't it be stupid for God not to? I mean, does God know what our church needs? Sure. So if he knows what it needs, it only makes sense to me that he's going to put in here what we need. Okay? Well, what if one member of the body of Christ says, I don't feel like it. I'm just too busy. What happens to the body of Christ? You say, well, but it's just a little thing. I'm just like the inner ear, you know. Folks, I firmly believe that if you are a child of God, God has given you gifts, spiritual gifts, to use in this place. And if you're not using them, then this church is not what it ought to be. I firmly believe that. We need to use the gifts that God has given to us. And by the way, it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, much more these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And we all say, well, yeah, I mean, we got to have a pastor, you know, that preaches the word and teaches the word. Well, that's really important. He's saying, you know what? It's the feeble members, the ones behind the scenes. They're the ones that are important. Folks, look, this body of Christ, this part of the body of Christ, whoever you want to say it, this church cannot function as it should if you are not doing what you should. And not only that, but there's a parable in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. And you know the master was going away, and he had three servants, and he left them certain portions and say, invest them and use them. And he came back, and there was a day of accounting, and there will be a payday someday, folks. And someday, I am going to stand before the Lord, and this is a scary thought to me. And I'm going to give an account for the gift or gifts God has given to me and what I've done with them. And guess what? If you're a child of God, you too will stand there and give an account. And if you've just been a spectator, then you're going to see your life destroyed by fire. Everything you did will be lost by fire. Now, he said to a steward, be faithful. It's required of stewards to be found faithful because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let me ask you today, are you a spectator or a participator? There may not be any such word as that, but I just made it up. Are you a spectator in the church of God? Are you participating in the work of God? How did you respond when God has called you to serve Him? Did you say, oh, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too smart. I'm not smart enough. I'm too rich. I'm not rich enough. I'm too busy. I don't know if anybody ever said I'm not busy enough, but I suppose that could be an answer. Those are all the things we throw up in God's face, aren't they? You know, it's interesting. None of those answers are the real reason why we're not using our gifts. The real reason is found in Romans 12:1. And in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And let's just be real honest. The reason we're not serving God the way we should, folks, is we haven't died to self yet. We've not presented our life to Christ and said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I suppose if we were to be honest, we'd all have to sing, I surrender most of it, or some of it. Now, I love to play ball too much. I tell you one thing I always hated when I was playing ball. Sitting on the bench. When I was in junior high, I was a great basketball player. I was on the B team. That tells you a lot right there. And I got to sit on the bench in the B team. Now, that's talent, folks. I hate sitting on the bench. And yet, often as believers, that's exactly what we're doing. Spiritually, we're sitting on the bench. Now, folks, God has something for you to do. He does. He has gifted you spiritually to edify the body of Christ. And He's calling us to do it. To do it. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will obey. I will surrender. I will do what you want me to do. I will invest the spiritual gift or gifts that you have given to me. Okay? Spectator? Or are you participating? Which is it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these folks' good attention tonight. And Lord, again, I guess I wonder why you led me in this direction with these faithful folks. Lord, there are people here that need this, I guess all of us do, because we all tend to get so busy that we don't use the spiritual gifts, so we get where we don't think we can do it and we're not talented enough or gifted enough. And I just pray that tonight, Lord, as we think together about these things, that you would help us to surrender our lives and to say, yes, Lord, whatever, wherever, whenever. Yes, Lord. And Lord, reveal to us what you would have us to do and help us to obey. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. We won't have a long invitation. I'm going to have the ladies play, I Surrender All. Maybe tonight God has spoken to you about your service for Him. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And if God has spoken to you, say, Gary, I just need to surrender. God is speaking to me about an area of service. I just need to surrender. I need to surrender. You come and tell the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you're not sure of heaven, hey, you've not been baptized in the body of Christ yet, but you can be. You can become a child of God tonight. The Lord wants to save you, cleanse you from sin, make you fresh and new, give you a home in heaven someday, and He'll do that for you. Tonight, if there might be one that say, Gary, you're talking to me, I'm not a Christian. I'm not sure of heaven, but boy, I'd sure like to be. If you're saying that in your heart, I'd like to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. Put it right back down. Just slip it up. Just hold it up just for a second. Say, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to be. Is there one like that? Not sure of heaven, but I'd like to be. Amen. Believer, let me encourage you. You can look this way. Encourage you as you go away. Examine your heart. Think soberly. Think soberly. Have a right view of your life and the gifts that God has given to you, and use them and serve the Lord. I have never met anybody that said, boy, I wish that I'd serve the Lord less. We get the end of life and all of us say, boy, I wish I'd done more. The songwriter said, by and by when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. Let's be faithful. Seek to know how God has gifted you, folks, and then do it. And then do it. Do it. Bible school may be the great time to get started. Okay? Do something for God. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for these folks, for the good time we've had studying your word tonight. And I pray you'd help us to be people who are surrendered to you. Help us to be people who know how you have gifted us. And then, Lord, help us to use them to edify and build up the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you, continue to pray for our folks in the mission trip, for Joyce tomorrow during the day. You think about her and pray for her. Lord bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.